Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 1.
Getting older doesn't have to be hard, but the overwhelmingly negative way we talk about it definitely makes it more difficult. Ageism is everywhere, and it's time for us to tell a different story. Making small changes to how we speak and write about aging can have a big impact on the experience itself.
Extract 2.
Later life isn't automatically a time of illness and frailty, so let's not characterize it like that. Instead, give older people a voice to show the diversity and huge range of experiences that accompany later life.
Extract 3.
Words matter. Describing people in the right way helps them feel seen and respected. Use older adult or older person rather than old age pensioner or elderly. And those who happen to live in care homes, they're people and residents, definitely not patients.
Extract 4.
Avoid othering language that positions older people as them and not us. Don't generalize and steer clear of metaphors like silver tsunami that present older age groups as a problematic separate entity.
Extract 5.
Age does not equal wealth. In fact, millions of older people are living in poverty or on low incomes. So it's important not to pit younger generations against older people, or generalize about which age groups are more deserving for financial support and resources.
Extract 6.
Keep images of aging positive but accurate. Using clichés of frailty, like pictures of wrinkly hands, is dehumanizing. Equally, scenes of older people skydiving can be unrealistic. In between, there's a happy medium that depicts older adults as individuals with unique and nuanced lives.
Extract 7.
We all need to make a conscious effort to speak about aging and later life in more realistic and positive ways. And when we do this, we can help end ageism together.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
Getting older doesn't have to be hard, but the overwhelmingly negative way we talk about it definitely makes it more difficult. Ageism is everywhere, and it's time for us to tell a different story. Making small changes to how we speak and write about aging can have a big impact on the experience itself.
Extract 2.
Later life isn't automatically a time of illness and frailty, so let's not characterize it like that. Instead, give older people a voice to show the diversity and huge range of experiences that accompany later life.
Extract 3.
Words matter. Describing people in the right way helps them feel seen and respected. Use older adult or older person rather than old age pensioner or elderly. And those who happen to live in care homes? They're people and residents, definitely not patients.
Extract 4.
Avoid othering language that positions older people as them and not us. Don't generalize. And steer clear of metaphors like silver tsunami that present older age groups as a problematic separate entity.
Extract 5.
Age does not equal wealth. In fact, millions of older people are living in poverty or on low incomes. So it's important not to pit younger generations against older people, or generalize about which age groups are more deserving for financial support and resources.
Extract 6.
Keep images of aging positive but accurate. Using clichés of frailty, like pictures of wrinkly hands, is dehumanizing. Equally, scenes of older people skydiving can be unrealistic. In between, there's a happy medium that depicts older adults as individuals with unique and nuanced lives.
Extract 7.
We all need to make a conscious effort to speak about aging and later life in more realistic and positive ways. And when we do this, we can help end ageism together.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
One. Well, here's what I will say the advice is. When it comes to my life, it's like, believe it when they say that loving yourself is the answer, as cliche as it is. And it means exactly what that nauseating, freaking, you know, you are enough.
I think not to believe that because someone is successful that they are necessarily good at what they do. So I would say value who you are and don't be, you know, there's so much of the time, it's also, you know, one's background and how you're brought up. I gave too much power to people who didn't deserve it. It wasn't their fault. You know, they weren't, you know, out to delude me. I was allowing myself to believe that some people had gifts that they didn't have. And so I would follow them and try to learn from them. And they had nothing to teach me. And it took me years to realize that. But there are also people who are wonders. And, you know, you have to be open to all of that. You have to be open to, don't be frightened of somebody who feels very other from you, but who's fabulous and does incredible things. Because somewhere inside that they're similar to you.
Three.
Not to take life so seriously, not to overthink things, and just to have fun, because life can be very, very short. Because I'm old, and eventually at some point I hope I've had some wisdom. I've lived long enough, many decades, but that's what I say to my children. Youngsters seem to suffer so much from stress and anxiety, and they have mental health issues, and life goes on, and you have to take it with the flow.
Four.
I'd say what's on your mind and be honest. Just say it. I did what was on my mind. I didn't say what was on my mind. In some respects, it did help me. But, like, yeah, just be honest, man. keep it real. No, I keep doing what you're doing, man. You're you know what I mean? Like it's about 9 or something. If I was that age when I was like, keep being yourself, keep doing what you're doing, believe what you see, be honest, say what's on your mind. Even if you're saying it to yourself in a book and writing it down, I'd say that.
Five.
Well, it would be to apply as much diligence and scrutiny and attention to your life as you do your work, and then everything will work out fine. And I think when I was younger, I got the balance wrong. I had to sort of reassess things about 15 years ago. But I'd rather have done it early. I mean, I meditate quite a lot now, and yeah. I do that because to try and reframe things, because I get sort of anxious about things being just so. I mean,
six.
I'd say, listen, school's just a way, but it's not the only way. And try and talk more to the quiet kids in the class, because they're much more interesting. Be kind to people, and remember that the best investment you can make in your life is good relationships. And find a way to celebrate failure. Because I kind of came out of school unconventionally, there's always a way. And I've never put pen to paper. I've never typed a thing. I've spoken dictaphones and I've found other ways. And so what's important is communication. And whether that's through sound or smell or touch or words, like, just as long as you're communicating well, just like, do your thing. But I'd also say, please don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
One.
Well, here's what I will say the advice is. When it comes to my life, it's like, believe it when they say that loving yourself is the answer, as cliche as it is. And it means exactly what that nauseating, freaking, you know, you are enough.
Two.
I think not to believe that because someone is successful that they are necessarily good at what they do. So I would say value who you are, and don't be, you know, there's so much of the time, it's also, you know, one's background and how you're brought up. I gave too much power to people who didn't deserve it. It wasn't their fault. You know, they weren't, you know, out to delude me. I was allowing myself to believe that some people had gifts that they didn't have. And so I would follow them and try to learn from them. And they had nothing to teach me. And it took me years to realize that. But there are also people who are wonders. And, you know, you have to be open to all of that. You have to be open to, don't be frightened of somebody who feels very other from you but who's fabulous and does incredible things, because somewhere inside they're similar to you.
Three.
Not to take life so seriously, not to overthink things, and just to have fun, because life can be very, very short. Because I'm old, and eventually at some point I'm hoping, well, I hope I've had some wisdom. I've lived long enough, many decades, but that's what I say to my children. Youngsters seem to suffer so much from stress and anxiety, and they have mental health issues, and life goes on, and you have to take it with the flow.
Four.
I'd say what's on your mind and be honest. Just say it. I did what was on my mind. I didn't say what was on my mind. But in some respects, it did help me. But like, yeah, just be honest, man. Keep it real. No, keep doing what you're doing, man. You know what I mean? Like it's about 9 or something. If I was that age when I was, like, keep being yourself. Keep doing what you're doing. Believe what you see. Be honest. Say what's on your mind. Even if you're saying it to yourself in a book and writing it down, I'd say that.
Five.
Well, it would be to apply as much diligence and scrutiny and attention to your life as you do your work. And then everything will work out fine. And I think when I was younger, I got the balance wrong. I had to sort of reassess things about 15 years ago. But I'd rather have done it early. I mean, I meditate quite a lot now. And yeah. I do that because to try and reframe things, because I get sort of anxious about things being just so. I mean...
Six.
I'd say, listen, school's just a way, but it's not the only way. And... try and talk more to the quiet kids in the class, because they're much more interesting. Be kind to people, and remember that the best investment you can make in your life is good relationships. And find a way to celebrate failure. Because I kind of came out of school unconventionally, there's always a way. And I've never put pen to paper, I've never typed a thing. I've spoken dictaphones and I found other ways. And so what's important is communication, and whether that's through sound or smell or touch or words, like, just as long as you're communicating well, just like, do your thing. But I'd also say, please don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Tarea 3. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
From Women Without a Story to a History of Women. This Neanderthal woman, very much in fashion today, is currently under discussion in numerous scientific debates. The main information about Neanderthals comes from their bones and teeth. In addition to using their teeth for chewing, they were also useful for holding objects and manipulating them better. However, given the scarcity of the evidence, it's risky to deduce details regarding their behavior, their interaction between the sexes, or how tasks were distributed according to gender, if such differentiation actually existed. Topics like these regarding prehistoric societies have traditionally been reconstructed by transferring social models pertaining to sex or gender from the society that was studying them. That's why, ever since the Paleolithic period, it seems as if women didn't have a story to be told, or had always been limited to performing secondary roles. Advancements in archaeology at the end of the 20th century achieved by female researchers investigating the history of women highlighted roles women played and organizational models that differed from their contemporaries. New ways of formulating questions about objects and other archaeological elements have revealed an uncharted world in which women emerge in leading roles, as we will see over the course of our visit. The female body, the first human self-representation. This small female figurine displays a pubic triangle chiseled along a dotted line. It is one of the few sexual symbols from the Chalcolithic period. Given the realism of such figurines, it may be inferred that their creators were more interested in the role of the individual than that of the group. Nevertheless, we know nothing of their meaning, although they are considered to be the product of a symbolic language. The main question is whether they represented idols or actual women. Previously, they were interpreted to be the images of gods, or the mother god, or as allusions to fertility. Today, all these models have been called into question. On a related note, it doesn't seem to be a coincidence that the first anthropomorphic representations, the Paleolithic Venuses, were of women and extended throughout Europe. This fact has led to the affirmation that the first human self-representation was the body of a woman. These early manifestations may have been related to fertility, that is, to a woman's ability to create life, an interpretation that has been challenged today. From that point onward, male figurines will progressively gain in importance, possibly reflecting a shift, unbeknownst to us, which also may have originated from the very civilization that produced them.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
From Women Without a Story to a History of Women. This Neanderthal woman, very much in fashion today, is currently under discussion in numerous scientific debates. The main information about Neanderthals comes from their bones and teeth. In addition to using their teeth for chewing, they were also useful for holding objects and manipulating them better. However, given the scarcity of the evidence, it's risky to deduce details regarding their behavior, their interaction between the sexes, or how tasks were distributed according to gender, if such differentiation actually existed. Topics like these regarding prehistoric societies have traditionally been reconstructed by transferring social models pertaining to sex or gender from the society that was studying them. That's why, ever since the Paleolithic period, it seems as if women didn't have a story to be told, or had always been limited to performing secondary roles. Advancements in archaeology at the end of the 20th century achieved by female researchers investigating the history of women highlighted roles women played and organizational models that differed from their contemporaries. New ways of formulating questions about objects and other archaeological elements have revealed an uncharted world in which women emerge in leading roles, as we will see over the course of our visit. The female body, the first human self-representation. This small female figurine displays a pubic triangle chiseled along a dotted line. It is one of the few sexual symbols from the Chalcolithic period. Given the realism of such figurines, it may be inferred that their creators were more interested in the role of the individual than that of the group. Nevertheless, we know nothing of their meaning, although they are considered to be the product of a symbolic language. The main question is whether they represented idols or actual women. Previously, they were interpreted to be the images of gods, or the mother god, or as allusions to fertility. Today, all these models have been called into question. On a related note, it doesn't seem to be a coincidence that the first anthropomorphic representations, the Paleolithic Venuses, were of women and extended throughout Europe. This fact has led to the affirmation that the first human self-representation was the body of a woman. These early manifestations may have been related to fertility, that is, to a woman's ability to create life, an interpretation that has been challenged today. From that point onward, male figurines will progressively gain in importance, possibly reflecting a shift, unbeknownst to us, which also may have originated from the very civilization that produced them.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 3. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.